Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When was the last time you sat down and read an entire book of the Bible or had it read to you? When was the last time you sat and read an entire chapter from a gospel? It was long, but honestly, you get to see more of the context for the lessons that we use in church. Reading a whole chapter of one of these books, or the entire book of Jude, gives us a deeper picture into what God's Word is trying to tell us. For instance, this first lesson, the whole book of Jude. Think of these words: "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." We remember the Exodus. We remember that God takes his children out of that land. But do we also remember the fact that he wipes out all of Pharaoh and his men? He drowns them all in the sea. And not only that, but after 40 years, many of the Israelites died. Why did they die? Because they were punished by God. Many of them were faithless. Many of them had turned their back on God. Many of them had turned to false idols. We remember Charlton Heston throwing down the golden tablets and destroying the golden calf, or the tablets and destroying the golden calf. That's not entirely how the story goes. No, yes, he breaks the tablets, but then he grinds up the golden calf, spreads it along the water, and requires all of them to drink that golden water. And then God kills many of them. Are we reminded of the fact that all of the Israelites who came out of Egypt, who refused to go into the promised land, died? All those adults that came out died. That is why God sent 40 years of wandering, so that they would all die. The angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, that is, the devil and his demons. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sodom and Gomorrah are there to us as an example. We do not chase after strange flesh, but we follow God's plan for our lives. "The Lord rebuke you," St. Michael would say to the devil. We are reminded of God's punishments. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Is not our world going in the way of Cain? A brother rose up to kill his own brother. And yet in this country we have mothers killing their own children each and every day. Going in the way of Cain. Going in the way of murder. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. Now many of you should have been familiar with the name Balaam. But when you think of Balaam, you automatically think of his talking donkey. But that's not even the best part of the story. No, Balaam was paid great money, and he accepted great money to say a curse over God's people. But God turned him, and when he opened his mouth to speak a curse that he could get money, God instead spoke a blessing to his people through Balaam. And perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now that one is a little bit more obscure. Unless you have spent time in the book of Numbers, you may not be familiar with the story of Korah. Korah was a man who rose up against Moses and Aaron. He was a man who said, "You have all the authority for yourselves. Surely if God is with us, we should have just as much say as you." But Korah forgot that God had placed Moses and Aaron in authority. That their authority didn't come because of who they were, but because God had called them. Korah gathered 250 men to follow him. to speak ill of Moses and Aaron to the people, to try to change their hearts. And unfortunately, they were able to. God slew Korah and the 250 men that went with him. And then the people grumbled more. They were not content with what God had given them. They were not content with the leaders that God had given them. And so God punishes them. In the book of Numbers, chapter 16, we read this, that God sent a plague on Israel because they would not listen to the rulers, the authorities that God had given them. And the plague claimed 14,700 Israelite lives because they chose not to follow the men that God had given them, but they chose to follow their own desires. And so we are reminded of these things. Do you not see this in our own day? Do you not see that we disrespect the authorities that God gives us? That is our culture now. We cry out against them day after day after day. We fail to remember that God is in control. They are grumblers, complainers, walking around according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Surely, these are the politicians. The words that they say may not even be what they believe, but they say what they think people want to hear to try to gain their trust, to try to gain their votes. There are so many people grumbling, so many people complaining, so many people walking around looking to get what they own, what they want, what they desire, what their flesh desires. So many people have turned away from what the apostles of our Lord had professed in our scriptures. Jude writes, "You, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We gather week in and week out. We gather on Wednesdays during Advent, Wednesdays during Lent, to rejoice, even in the midst of penitence. Because while we are penitential, while we are focusing on why Christ came in the flesh, we rejoice that he has. We know what the end of the story is. We know that Jesus Christ conquered death. He died to put an end to death for us. Faith in this, his mercy, his grace, is what takes us into eternal life. St. Mark wrote wonderful words. We are reminded that the end is coming. It is upon us. We have been living in the end days ever since Christ's ascension. There are churches that believe that there will be a 1,000-year literal reign. There are churches that believe that some will be taken in a rapture, that the faithful will not have to endure tribulation. But we are living in the end times. We have been living in them for 2,000 years. And we know that we will suffer the tribulations along with the unbelievers. Jesus said, "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." Think back. I know that probably most of you weren't alive yet, but think back of how the world must have felt in the throes of not one, but two world wars. We had a great war. A war that was supposed to end all wars, where nations rose up against each other. And then we had another one. Surely they must have seen the end in these things. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. The end is not yet, but the end is approaching us. We are closer to the end now than we have ever been. And unfortunately, the faith of our nation is at its weakest that it has ever been. Jesus said, "Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. Now, that may not be really happening much right now in America, but what I do see happening is that people are spiritually starving. That children are telling their parents that they cannot worship, that they cannot be in the Lord's house, that they cannot be around their fellow believers. That is not okay. This is where we need to be. This is where we need to gather. We need to gather in the Lord's house with each other. May we not see Christ's return during this time. May our hearts repent. May we encourage one another to the Lord's house. Jesus said, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." The world isn't going to love you. It isn't going to praise you for being a Christian. It will praise you for going against God's created order. It will praise you and fall all over itself to go with whatever the newest trend is at any moment. But we're not here to please the world. We're here to live a life for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Yes, the end is coming. And on the day of Christ's return, the trumpets will sound. The heavens and the earth will cease to exist. And a new heaven and a new earth will be created for all of his children who professed him with their tongues, with their hearts, in this life will be with him for eternity. Until that day, we don't know when Jesus will return. He has hidden those things from us that we may not fall asleep or become lazy in our faith, but live every single day as if Jesus Christ could return, because he could return this night. And are we prepared? Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Watch, therefore, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And lastly, he gives us this admonition: "What I say to you, I say to all, watch." The church sings, "Preserve your word, O Savior, to us this latter day, and let your kingdom flourish. Enlarge your church, we pray. O keep our faith from failing, keep hope's bright star aglow. Let nothing from truth turn us while living here below. Amen." The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.